ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Today we continue to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, entitled Talks Between Narada and King Prachinabadi, text number 12. Apano Vyavaharotra
Apano Vyavaharotra
Chitram Andho Bahudanam
Chitram Andho Bahudanam
पितृगुर्दक्षिणकर्णा उत्तारो देवहु स्मृतः आपनो व्यवहारोऽत्र चित्रं अन्धो बहुधनं पितृगुर्दक्षिणकर्णा उत्तारो देवहु स्मृतः आपनो व्यवहारोऽत्र चित्रं अन्धो बहुधनं पितृगुर्दक्षिणकर्णा उत्तारो देवः स्मृतः। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग आपनः नेम आपनः व्यवहारः business of the tongue,
business of the tongue,
atra,
atra,
here,
here,
chitram,
chitram,
of all varieties,
of all varieties,
andaha,
andaha,
hirabhus,
hirabhus,
bahudanam,
bahudanam,
named bahudana,
named bahudana,
pitruhu,
pitruhu,
named pitruhu,
named pitruhu,
dakshinaha,
dakshinaha,
right,
right,
karnaha,
karnaha,
here,
उत्तारः
लेफ्ट
देवहु
देवहु
स्मृतः
इस कॉल्ड ट्रांसलेशन बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। द सिटी कॉल्ड आपना रिप्रेजेंट्स एंगेजमेंट ऑफ द टंग इन स्पीच एंड बहुधनम इज द वैरायटी ऑफ फुटस्टेप्स। द राइट ईयर इज कॉल्ड द गेट ऑफ पितृहु एंड द लेफ्ट ईयर इज कॉल्ड द गेट ऑफ Devo. Doesn't have any purport. We'll read the next verse. Text 13, please hear. Pravrittam cha nivrittam cha shastram panchala samyitam pitriyam devayam shrotra shruta dara prajet. Please repeat. Pravrittam. The process of sense enjoyment.
The process of sense enjoyment.
Cha. Also, nivrittam, the process of detachment, cha, also, shastram, scripture, panchala, panchala, samyitam, is described as, pityanam, going to pitraloka, devayanam,
going to devaloka,
Shrotra, by hearing, Shruta Dara, by the companion, named Shruta Dara, Rajet, one can be elevated. Translation of the purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni continued. The city, spoken as Dakshina Panchala, represents the scriptures meant for directing pravritti, the process of sense enjoyment, in fruitive activities. The other city named Uttara Panchala represents the scriptures meant for decreasing fruitive activities and increasing knowledge. The living entity receives different kinds of knowledge by means of 2 ears, and some living entities are promoted to Pitruloka and some to Devaloka. All of this is made possible by the 2 ears. Purport. The Vedas are known as Shruti, and the knowledge received from them through oral reception is called Shrutadhara. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, one can be promoted to the planets of the demigods, or to the planets of the Pitas, forefathers, or even to the Vaikuntha planets, simply through the process of hearing. These things have already been explained in previous chapters.
ஜனசலாக்கியாச்சுரவேதம் ஸ்ரீச்சைத்தன்யமனோவீஷ்டம் ஸ்தாபிதம் ஏன பூதலே ஸ்வயம் ரூபகதமயோ ததாதி ஸ்வகதம் திகம் வந்தேகம் ஸ்ரீகுரோ ஸ்ரீதபதகமலம் ஸ்ரீகுருன் வைஷ்ணவாம்ச சிரீகிருஹம் சாக்ரஜாதம் சஹகணரகுநாதாம்பிதம் தம் சஜீவம் சாதயம் சாவதூதம் ஹரிஜனசஹிதம் கிருஷ்ணசைதன்யதேவம் ஸ்ரீராதாகிருஷ்ணபாதான் சஹகணலலிதா ஸ்ரீவிசாகாம்பிதாம்ஸ்ச ஹே கிருஷ்ணா கருணாசிந்தோ தீனபந்தோ ஜெகத்பதே கோபேஷ கோபிகாகாந்தராதாகாந்த நமோஸ்துதே தத்தகாஞ்சனகௌரங்கீராதே விருந்தாவனேஸ்வரி ரிஷபாம் வசுதே தேவி பிரணமாமி ஹரிப்ரியே
How do I get out of this bodily conception? How do I clear my doubts regarding next life? How do I purify my heart? How do I sanctify this material world? How do I enter into the spiritual world? All these results can be obtained simply by hearing the conversation between Narada Muni and King Prachinaparisha. So, what are some of the benefits which we just now discussed?
Go back to the spiritual world.
Very good. What else?
Purify.
You want to say something? What are the other benefits which we just now heard?
Purification.
Very good. Okay, you can use the mic. I forgot to mention. And then also scientific understanding of next life. That's also described. When we hear this conversation between Arjuna and Prachinaparisha carefully. So this section, Narayana is giving a description of different gates. We are used to opening the temple gates, open, close. Here Narayana is describing the different gates within the body. These gates act as an outlet. So if there is a gate, somebody has to go in and out. So who is the one who is directing the activities of the senses through these different gates or the outlets. That's described earlier in this chapter as the mind. So the mind is the one that is directing the activities of the senses, which are getting expressed through these outlets, various outlets that we have. Then the different situations that are around us, that is getting created by the intelligence. The intelligence creates different situations for the jiva, both in his wakeful and dream state. I think I'm okay, Guru. So the mind directs the activities of the senses through the gates, and then the intelligence creates different situations for the living entity, both in the wakeful and in the dream state. Now, how one individual uses these facilities, that's the mind, the intelligence and the gates, and what destination he want to reach, that is totally up to every individual. So option one is, you can take God out of the picture and you can completely focus on relying my own strength, my own intelligence, and I don't care about who's above me. I'll get the results in whatever way I can. As long as I can get the results, it's good enough. There's no presence of any supreme controller. Everything belongs to me. I am the owner and enjoyer. So, by the description you have guessed, this type of mentality belongs to whom? One set of class. Krishna describes in one of the chapters.
Demons.
Very good, thank you. So, demoniac mentality or the asuric mentality, Ishvaro Aham, Aham Bodhi. And as a result is what we are facing now, the situation around us, which we ourselves got into by letting go of the senses into different outlets, and the intelligence being polluted makes plans for enjoyment through these various gates, and now we can't even get out of the gate of our own house. We are locked up. By misusing one's gates within one's body, individually and collectively, we are now created a situation where we are not even able to get out of the gate of our own house. So I saw this message, two lions, they are talking to each other, and they are saying, these guys said we are going to land in the moon. Now they can't even step out of their house. Now is the time for us to move freely in this world. So some countries claim that we will put our feet on the moon, land there, but we can't even get out of the house. So the animals are now happy and they are thinking. So it's a kind of matches the allegory where the animals which were killed by Prachina Varishad, they are waiting to take revenge. That's how graphically Narada Muni shows the initial, when he enters the scene, he shows compassion. He intervenes and then he shows this picture of how the animals are waiting to take revenge. And similarly, the current situation, now the animals are coming out freely, the next step, I don't know, maybe they may. So nature is teaching us in its own way, if we don't use the gates within our body, individually and collectively in a good way, we might end up in a situation, we have ended up in a situation like this, it might get worse, so better to learn lessons. Coming back to this option, second option is a person like, a pious person like King Prachina Parishad. He is following the instructions in the Vedas. He is attached to the results, and he is using God as an order supplier to facilitate him to enjoy in this material world. The three vargas, dharma, artha, which means you follow the rightful path, then you gain wealth, and then you enjoy it. And Prabhupada interestingly explains when the allegorical story begins about Puranjana. Puranjana is described as a hero or a veera. So in that, Prabhupada introduces the concept of two types of heroes, which I thought I'll expand upon today. So two types of heroes. One is a materialistic hero, and the other is a, what's the opposite of materialistic?
Spiritual.
Spiritual, very good. One is a materialistic hero, the other one is spiritual hero. As discussed earlier, depending on how you use your mind, body and the different gates, you can choose to become either a material hero or a spiritual hero. So here, in the allegorical story, Puranjana is described as a materialistic hero. And stepping back and reflecting on the conversation between Narada Muni and Prachna Parishad, Prachna Parishad is also at this moment a materialistic hero. He is a king, he is performing sacrifices, he has got set of advisors who are giving advice to him, and he is carrying out the injunctions which are described in the Shastras for getting benefits. And this kind of enjoyment through the injunctions of the Shastras was described in this verse as one kind of a path. So you want to achieve a particular destination, you have a particular goal in mind, and then you have a particular process or a path which takes you there. And as a living entity, you have the choice to make. So if you want to enjoy the pravritti marga, which is the path of sense enjoyment, then the set of injunctions are there in the Vedic literature, which tells you how to perform sacrifices and how to enjoy this material world. And that is called as the dharmic intelligence. The intelligence which takes you, it's not asuri, because we're still discussing the option two, the intelligence which is dharmic, which makes you follow the Vedic injunctions, but still you are very attached to the results. You want to still enjoy the material, propensity to enjoy this material world is very strong. And that is the type of wife which in the allegorical story is described as the materialistic intelligence. At one stage, Puranjana will even give up this material intelligence and go and hunt in the forest. That is described in one of the chapters. He goes to hunt. At the time, when he comes back, the wife will not be happy. So then he will reinstate himself from asuric mentality to at least the dharmic mentality. That's the brighter side of a person who is following the karmakanda kind of worship. At least he is approaching an authority and is willing to listen to the Vedas. He is willing to get instructions. So that's the bright side. And we will see how Narada Muni uses this as an advantage for him to preach devotional service. So the qualities which Puranjana and for that matter Prachna Parishad are good at is they are willing to listen and they are accepting the authorities of the Vedas. Now what are some of the disadvantages of such an approach is, as we saw, that as the wife, the intelligence sits, Puranjana also sits. When she dines, he also dines. When she laughs, he also laughs. So you are bound by this kind of intelligence and you forget what is called as the snake of time, which is waiting to bite you at any moment. You are caught up in this cycle of enjoyment and you are forgetting that the time is running out. And that's why later chapter describes about the attack of Chandavega on the city. So the flip side of continuous enjoyment in this material world, even though it is based on the shastras, is that you become, how do you say, you become numb to the effect of time. If you have taken some anesthesia, that part of the body becomes numb. So the sense enjoyment makes you numb to the fact that time is running out and you are getting closer and closer to facing the inevitable death. That's the flip side of being caught up in this kind of materialistic intelligence and not thinking about getting out of the cycle of birth and death. So we are discussing about this materialistic hero who has got a heroine and he is enjoying in a forest and he is forgetting the fact that the time is running out. Such heroes, materialistic heroes, will be facing bewildering situations as described by Srila Prabhupada in the first chapter itself. When Arjuna gets bewildered in 30th verse, the first chapter, purport, Prabhupada explains, excessive attachment for material things, which is what these two heroes, Puranjana and Prachna Parishad, are into, puts a man in a bewildering condition of existence. Excessive attachment does what? Bewilders a person. As always, Prabhupada not only gives a problem statement, he also gives a solution in the purport. He defines what is fear, bhayam vidya abhiniveshata syat. That famous verse, I'll touch upon a few points from that particular verse, Bhagavatam 11.237, which describes what exactly is fear and how to get out of fear. Fear arises. So what is the root cause of fear? When a living entity misidentifies himself with the material body. And how does this happen? He gets too much absorbed in the external illusory energy of the Lord. So you are very close to the Lord, you are facing Him, but then you turn your face away and you are looking at the external energy and you are getting captivated and you are turning your face away. As soon as that happens, what fear comes and affects you. He also forgets his constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by Maya. That's up to the problem statement. Now what's the solution? Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord. Ahaituki, apradihata, unflinching and unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master whom he should accept as a worshipable deity and his very life and soul. So that is the solution to the materialistic hero's problem, who is getting bewildered even though he is trying to enjoy in this material world. His great Bhujan Prabhu in his Sankara to me, when describing the yoga ladder, he nicely puts it in a way that a person is approaching a spiritual authority for enjoying something material. He goes to the Panditji, can you tell me this material world is miserable, I want to go somewhere. Okay, then is there anything else above? So there is heaven. So how do I get to heaven? And the Panditji will tell, these are the set of pujas that you do and you get to heaven. And and then he will add a fine line saying, sometimes even in the heaven there will be troubles. Oh, is it? Okay, so the demons will come and they will attack, even though you are enjoying, suddenly your enjoyment will be taken away and you will become a pauper next moment. Which is what many countries have become. The giants in the economy now had one few weeks, the whole situation changed, so they are now coming down. Which from the, at least growing up in India, we look towards UK and the US to be the epitome of material luxury, and I've read reports where how effectively the current situation of pandemic is being managed in India and how it is managed in America. So there's a huge difference. So the grass is always greener on the other side. So we think that if you go to that particular place, how their lifestyle is, you're getting attracted. But we as those who are in the east, they're so close to God, but they've just turned their face away. It's just a matter of turning back. So the solution as being talked about, why did I get to this point? Yeah, so in the heavenly planets, also there are dangers. So when this condition is realized, so then what do I do after this? Where do I go? Even if it is there another option? So the good point is at least thinking about the next life. He is caring about, he's thinking that in next life I'll be better. So that propensity is there, secondly he's willing to hear. So then, if he gets in touch with a proper Vaishnava teacher, then he tells about, that teacher describes how there is a spiritual world, there is no birth, old age and disease, and then he gives the path and also the process how to get there. That's the transformation of a materialistic hero to a spiritual hero. When he meets a merciful Vaishnava teacher who is full of knowledge about how this material world works and how the living entities are caught up and how there is a spiritual world and how he can describe the process how to get there. In short, I am telling about the Sambandha, Abhidaya and Prayojana. Vaishnava, merciful Vaishnava teacher, when he intervenes and then he transforms the materialistic hero gradually to a spiritual hero. That's what Prabhupada describes. The Goswami is the actual spiritual hero. Not the one who runs after his senses and works according to the dictation of his senses. You may be called as a materialistic hero. That's what Puranjana and Prasanna Parishad are doing. But now the intervention of Narada Muni as the merciful Vaishnava Acharya tactfully uses the propensity to hear and the nature to respect sadhus and then willingness to find out more about admitting his own mistakes. Yes, I am too caught up in this karmakanda type of lifestyle, I can't understand the allegory even though you told me, so can you explain me in detail? His willingness to hear, admit his own fallen condition, position, and being honest. And finally, towards this, as this chapter progresses, Prachina Bhavishya will ask intelligent questions also. So what's the first quality of Prachina Parishad that is good, that we discussed?
It's willingness to hear.
Willingness to hear, very good. So that quality is actually praised by Lord Krishna also in the Bhagavad Gita. chapter 13, verse 26, which I found interesting, where the word Shruti Parayanaha is being used. That's what this verse also talks about, Shruti. The Vedas, one aspect of the Vedas is Shruti, and the other is Smriti. So, where does all that begin? Is that willingness to hear? Shruti Parayanaha. I'll read the translation of 13.26. Where different kinds of transcendentalists are described. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person. When does that begin? Upon hearing about Him from others. Now, here is where Krishna praises the ability or tendency to hear. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Shruti Parayana 13.26. So just by their tendency to hear from authorities, they can also transcend the path of birth and death. So that is one of the philosophy of hearing this conversation between Narada Muni and King Prajna Parishad. You will get out of the clutches of birth and death. Now this hearing is showing inclination. So the two kinds of inclination to hearing is described. One set of ears are inclined to hear more about doing well in this material world, elevating himself to heavenly planets. So one kind of ears. The right ear is described as that ear which is always eager to hear about materialistic well-being, elevating himself to the heavenly planets. That's described in the purport. Although Prabhupada said it's covered in the previous chapters, he is meaning the chapter 25, where he elaborates on how one kind of ear is always interested. The right ear is interested towards material well-being. So, you're all intelligent. What will the left ear do? Spiritual. So, the left ear is the one you get the spiritual mantras for getting you out of this material world. So it's again the free will. Where do I want to focus my energy in hearing? Because where the focus and attention is, that's where the energy goes. So that's where your intention is, and that's the goal you will get. If you were in showing more interest to hear about heavenly planets, Pitruloka, and that kind of worship, that kind of puja, so then all the gates in your body will act accordingly. Your hands, your head, your heart are going towards that direction. That's what you get. But here we're seeing that Narada Muni is intervening in a strategic way, and he is changing the course of direction to make him hear through his left ears about the spiritual world, about the path that will take him out of this material world. So, such a spiritual teacher who teaches you about how to get out of this world, he establishes who you actually are. How you are not the body, you are spirit soul. He doesn't stop there. He also gives the knowledge that you are not meant to be in this material world. Even though you are living here, it is just covering the mind and the intelligence and the body, which Prajna Parishad will ask out of question. What is the subtle body made of? And how can I believe that there will be next life? All that Narada Muni will answer. So that's what the Vaishnava teacher gives. Who you are, who God is and how the material nature works, and depending on the destination that you want to go to, he will describe how the even the heavenly planets are temporary. Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartika Arjuna. If you want to go to heavenly planets, still they are temporary. But then there is a spiritual world where once you go, you don't come back. Yet Gatva Na Nivartante Tad Dhamma Paramam. Then, after having given you this knowledge of who you are, who God is, and he will give you the understanding of how this material nature works. Because we still, so we know where we are, we want to, we have changed our destination, but we still are in this material world. How the material nature works, and how to use the material nature to get there. So he gives you the process of applying this knowledge. He gives you the process whereby even within your own conditioned state that you are in, we are so much conditioned by our bodily designation. We will have a combination of Brahmana, Kshatriya or Kshatriya, Vaishya or Vaishya, Shudra, or all combinations we have, and we are caught up in male body or female body. Within whatever situation you are in, the spiritual teacher helps you to start from where you are and use your own conditional nature and direct that towards attaining the goal. And the goal is also now changed from pravritti to nivritti, from heavenly planets to tapaloka, maharloka, brahmaloka, and eventually to Vaikuntha. And the spiritual teacher, master, actually teaches you the ultimate goal and also how to get there. In other words, he inspires you, he gives you the knowledge about the field of activities, and he teaches you the subject matter, how to practically apply that in your life, and to also get to the destination. In simple words, the spirit, the purpose, the actual subject matter, the mood in which you need to approach it, the process, and the ultimate result of the goal. We may not be able to appreciate Srila Prabhupada's purpose if we don't have certain frameworks to read, because he will follow this kind of a presentation throughout his purpose also. If we analyze carefully, he will establish a concept, then he will give, that's called the thesis or the premise, he sets that up, then he will give examples. Say, for example, I was reading the second chapter, the concept of absolute truth, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, is being brought out. So he will establish that. Then he will give some examples from our point of view. We can understand sunshine, sun glow, and the sun god. So then he is giving a udharana, or the example, which even a layman can understand. Then he will quote from the Shastras to establish that fact. And some of the purports in second chapter, he will go and argue from the Mayavadi point of view. Why does he do that? He is to raise a doubt. So that's called Sandeha. And then he will refute that Mayavadi argument and establish the fact that the actual statement that he is trying to say, or establish the fact that he's trying to prove. If you read the purport with this framework, you'll be able to see why does Prabhupada want to say about what Mayavada is thinking, because that's the opposite point of view of what you are stating. God has a form, they will state God has no form. If I go to their side and defeat them, it means I'm establishing a fact. So So that's what Prabhupada says. Mayavada may argue like this, so and so. He said this. But still, that's not true because the Vedas say this. So he is breaking that argument. It is called raising a doubt, clearing it, synthesizing it, and firmly establishing this is the truth. So this is the structure he can also follow when presenting. And that is one of the styles which Narada Muni is also using here. He is giving, he is framed it as a whole allegorical story. And first he grabs the attention of Prashnavarti, then he gives a graphical description of the effects of his killings. Then he gets into this allegorical story. What Narada Muni is training Prachinabhavishad is, he is teaching the concept of reflecting, pausing in your life. You're running this treadmill of elevating yourself to heavenly planets. He comes and presses the pause button and then asks him to reflect. Hey, what are we actually doing? So he is teaching the concept of learning to reflect. From in the educational circles, there's a concept of teaching how to reflect. The students are meant to learn how to reflect. So the teacher is meant to teach how to reflect, and the student is meant to learn how to reflect. That's what's happening here between Narada Muni and Prachinabhavishad. So the allegorical story makes him pause, reflect. Hey, I can see a lot of similarity between this person in the story and me. And if he is going to die such a pitiful death, I am not a conception. Now I want to know more about this. Now this chapter is what I feel is a classic debriefing of an experiential learning session where the teacher asks you to reflect on an experience, or he shows a real life incident, then he asks you to reflect on it. Then why is it important? So he'll ask three things: what happened, why is it important, and how will you change in your life based on this. So the second phase is you are reflecting to learn. First you learn how to reflect by pressing the pause button and reflecting. Now what do I learn from this? Many of you have done teachers training course, might be able to relate. Reflecting to learn. I am reflecting and now I am going to learn. So the debriefing is happening now. Narada Muni is again going back and telling all the, he is expanding on the allegories that he has given, and he is giving more explanation. And Prabhupada, in his usual style, even in the 25th chapter, he has given all the explanation way ahead to us. So that is what's happening. So he's, Narada Muni is making him press the pause button, teaching him how to reflect. Now he is debriefing, so he is reflecting, and now as the famous verse says, Sampraptam Labdha Buddhaye. Now his intelligence is awake and now he is starting to ask questions. Okay, I am convinced. Now how do I get fully convinced about what is subtle body? What will happen in next life? Those details are coming up, so stay tuned. Now the other aspect of Narada Muni's preaching style is how he is encouraging the potential of a disciple. Some of the qualities of Prachinabhavishad which was favorable. What are some of the points we discussed? What are some of the things that he made him conducive for hearing? Sorry. Made him conducive for learning? Hearing. What else? accepting the authority, your willingness to hear, and being honest with his own shortcomings. We can see that with Dhruva Maharaj also. He is very frank and honest. The instructions you are telling Narada Muni, they are well and good, but I cannot follow them. He was very frank and honest. He admits it. So, Prachana Parishad, in the beginning, he will say that he is not so, his intelligence is so much absorbed in karma kanda worship. I can't understand this allegory, so tell me more. Now, coming from the point of view of Narada Muni, he is looking at all this and he is encouraging the potential of a disciple. And secondly, he is forgiving the mistakes of Prachana Parishad. He doesn't start off by saying, hey, animal killer, you'll be damned, you'll go to hell. He doesn't start off like that, although, so just before putting an injection, they'll probably put some little anesthesia or he'll clear that area and then he's going to inject without even the person knowing that a medicine is going in. If you go to blood test and all, they'll clear that area, they'll check the nerve, they'll ask you to come. And then they put the, so Narada Muni first, he just, hey, look, these animals are going to kill you, but now hear the story of Prachana Parishad. So then the injection is gone, now the medicine is going in. So he's encouraging the potential and he's forgiving the mistakes. And Narada Muni is also able to change the belief system and the way of thinking and feeling and the attitude and the... he changes the whole perception of Prachana Parishad, which is otherwise unchangeable for a conditioned living being who is thinking that he is a body, who is feeling that he is his body and mind, who is acting in the platform of body, who is developing an attitude based on these kind of thoughts, feelings, actions. You develop an attitude and you build upon more and more attitudes. That becomes your character. And then over a period that becomes your belief. And when that is strong and that becomes your perception, all this is based on I am the body, I am the mind. From that, he is changing the way Prachana Parishad is thinking, feeling, willing, his attitude, the perception, and his finally his beliefs. So that which is highly impossible is possible by the spiritual master when he intervenes. He gives him sufficient knowledge, he clears the doubts, he patiently answers the questions of King Prachana Parishad, and he also gives him a proper action plan. This is what you need to do after having your intelligence awakened. Now this is the process you need to follow. So, this way we can understand how effectively the spiritual master is utilizing the favorable aspects within a disciple. He forgives the mistakes, he encourages the potential, he changes the belief system of his disciple, and he gives him a proper action plan. So when we want to apply this in our life, we could be playing the role of Prachana Parishad. When we need to pick up the quality that he has and apply it in our life, when we are being mentored by somebody, when we are the mentee, and we are being counseled by somebody, in English we are the counselee, and the counselor is the other spiritual authority. So we need to We should be willing to hear, we should admit our mistakes honestly and willing to change and ask intelligent questions. In some situations we may have have to play the role of a counselor or a mentor. So at that time we get inspiration from Narada Muni as to how he is able to relate to Prachna Bhajit in the level that he is in, encourages the potential, forgives the mistakes, gives him the knowledge and gives him a proper action plan as to start from where you are, use what you have and change the destination from elevating to Swargaloka to elevate yourself to Vaikuntha. So this way we can learn lesson both from the style in which Narada Muni is preaching and the style in which Prachna Bhajit is also hearing. And this kind of the role of mentor and mentee and counselor and counselee happens in many scriptures. One such recently we had Ram Navami, where Jambavan will inspire Hanuman to jump across the ocean. So sometimes we may not have the physical ability to do things, so we may have to inspire those who have it. We make them as Hanuman, realize their potential and make them jump. Sometimes we may not realize our potential, and when our superiors feel that we are qualified and we are the chosen, then we need to jump, taking their advice and taking their guidelines, and we need to jump. So these are a few lessons I thought I would share. I'll pause here and ask any questions related to what we discussed today. There are mics available for those who want to ask. How the use of right ear and left ear can be used in our devotional activities of Shravana Kirtana, we seem to be using both the ears. One picture I've seen Prabhupada giving Gayatri Mantra to devotees, where they are asked to come near him and then lend the ears, and mostly I've seen the propensity is to show the left ear for getting sacred mantras, like Gayatri, for example. So when you stay near the, it's not given in public, so you meet your spiritual master in private and he is in asana and you're at the level of Visakhi, you're on the ground, and then you hear the mantra. You, as a respect of reducing your propensity to speak, so you are covering your nose and mouth and you are more attentive in hearing, so you lend your left ear. That is something that came to my mind, where you are more inclined to hear about spiritual topics like through the left ear. Otherwise, for general hearing, we seem to be using both the ears. Even for hearing Bhagavatam, we use both the ears. There is no restriction for chanting the holy name or for other projects. But when it comes to Gayatri Mantra or other sacred mantras, with my limited understanding, the left ear is more, you tend to more go towards Guru, you bow down, or you be in a posture where you are willing to hear. And he tells specifically in your left ear. The other aspect is the mentality to curb the eagerness to hear material topics. You may be using both the ears, but you may be leaning towards hearing material topics. That is what I feel is getting condemned here. And we are encouraged to use both the ears to move towards hearing spiritual topics which are going to elevate you and get you out of the cycle of birth and death. So that is my understanding, where don't use your gaze to go towards or move towards senses, mind and willing and all that, to move towards pravritti marga. Move towards nivritti marga. Change the entire course of your action. And that begins by hearing. So you use both the ears to hear spiritual topics, you use your mouth, you use both the ears to hear Bhagavatam, and all that is getting purified. Even though the right ear wants to hear more materialistic things, because we are using it in Guru's and Krishna's service, it is going to get purified, and it will eventually want to hear more about Krishna. So you may double check with other devotees like I don't know, Manivadra Prabhu or Gangesha Prabhu about the left ear, but this is my understanding.
Just speculating on the
left ear.
You know that the right ear is connected to the left brain and the left ear is connected to the right brain. Probably the left side of the brain is more in tune with the higher side.
Is it? Okay.
Maybe. Could that have something to do with the brain structure?
Okay, that's a good observation.
I have another question. It's regarding that this, the analysis that you presented about the Naramuni strategies in preaching to preaching to Arhi Maharaj. Personally, I don't like the sequence, the way how you presented the analysis is very insightful. Thank you for that.
The couple of points I took from His Grace Subhu Vilas Prabhu, he was talking from a different point of view about relationships. Where he, I didn't listen to the whole video, but then he told these sutras in the beginning, and then he said, if you work on this, your relationship will improve. So, few of the points that I spoke are based on that. Yes, so.
I would like to request you if you can expand a little bit more in the aspect of encouraging the potential of the mentee, this case of the person who is receiving the preaching, I don't know, the help, the assistance. So, encouraging the potential, how to discover it as well, because there is.
When I was contemplating on this, encouraging the potential of this, Srila Prabhupada came in mind how he used the ambitious nature of the devotees in the West, who America actually wants to act as the UK and US want to become the superpower, and they act in a platform of telling others what to do. So he used that nature to give them big projects, go out, and so he used that, which means initially he forgive their mistakes that they are doing, and he saw that these are the potential. So we can look at Prabhupada's life history and how he started his preaching mission. So reading Lila Amrita from the point of view of getting preaching techniques will help. That's the first thing. Second is to connect to them at their level. I was reading this verse by set of prayers by, I think it's by Mother Lakshmi, where she is describing the Lord to be Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya. So when we are connecting to people outside, we can see what is prominent in them, the Annamaya platform or the Manomaya platform or the intellectual platform. And that aspect can be used, and that can, they can be encouraged in that. So that is one framework that you can use. The third is the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra tendencies, these characteristics which are described in the Bhagavad Gita. We can use that as a framework. Individually, if we want to go more deep about ourselves, what have we based on lessons from Suresh Prabhu about, there's one lesson the founder has said in the course which talks about finding your mission in Srila Prabhupada's mission. So that lesson talks about knowing who you are, what is your condition, nature. In that, for an advice given to parents is that they have to observe the psychophysical nature of their child. And secondly, they are also recommended to consult seers of the future, which means a Vaishnava astrologer who can draw the chart of your child and give more insights to you about the conditioned nature of this particular child and his potential spiritual side, because a Vaishnava astrologer can see both the sides, and the remedy that he suggests, now that would also be so. Because the parent is playing the role of a mentor or a coach or an inspirer and a guide and loving mother, so they also need to know, the father and mother to raise a child, they need to know that the psychophysical nature by observing and by the chart, in that sense, is done to a qualified Vaishnava astrologer. So that is another way. We can't access the horoscope information of the mentors or the mentees we are trying to. But what we can is observing the psychophysical nature, their reactions and all that. So that also might help.
Also trying to connect that with the action plan that you also mentioned.
Yeah.
So, depending on the type of relationship and level of commitment in that relationship can be, and at what stage can be done, and
yes,
that's also another.
The action plan also, I got inspiration from the way Srila Prabhupada implemented his vision in four phases. So the videos are still there. Suresh Prabhu was given a talk about that. The Prabhupada had the vision even before going to the West. This is what I want to accomplish, and then he accomplished it in four phases. That's his action plan. So he, Srila Prabhupada, had this unique transcendental potency to look at the potential of everybody. So he encouraged everybody to chant the Hare Krishna mantra without any restrictions, individually, collectively, going outside and engaging them in taking prasadam. So he emphasized on the do's first, which is how he is different from some of his godbrothers who may have focused on the don'ts first. And I don't know, but to my knowledge, what Prabhupada emphasized is the first phase is holy name, holy books. No matter who you are, start chanting the holy name and take it to Savan and then start reading the holy books. So that's the phase one. So then he gave them later on he gave them the qualification to take up higher spiritual practices, chanting 16 rounds and avoiding and all that came later. So Prabhupada himself, as he said, he is 90% liberal, 10% conservative. So he's strict 10%, but then 90% is liberal. So if you can watch the video of Suresh Prabhu, where the four-phase implementation plan is there, that's for the whole movement, how he implemented that. Holy names, holy books. Then came later on the deities, and then there is phase three, initiation and congregation, initiations in the west and congregation development in the east. Then the fourth is the Varnashram, which is kind of working on. This is for the whole organization, for the whole movement. And then if you look at individual spiritual masters, so then they will give you a specific plan, provided you display all these qualities of disciple, willingness to hear and admit the mistakes. So then they will give you a set of plan to work on it. Then you also take that very seriously, in the sense that now I have got a spiritual master, I have got an institution, I got this. Now within that I need to plan my own. I have to have my own action plan. The Guru has given it, how am I going to implement it? So then we also have to work. This is what Prachana Bhajata will do. He will get enlightened and he will think about sending a word for his sons to come, but then Narada Muni will actually tell another story and then to make his exit much more quicker. So he will do that. So I got inspired with his action plan by looking at Founders of the Course, how Prabhupada implemented that as a plan, as a four-phase plan. He had that, and that's what the spiritual master does. He gives Samanda Gyan, Abhideya, the process, and he also makes it clear what the goal is. And during in that process, you develop sense control. So I forgot to mention the whole section from Nectar Construction, where the Vatsavega, two aspects of the using of the tongue. One is for speech, other one is for tasting food. The one part will lead you to pravritti mark, other part for using the tongue will lead you to nirvritti mark. So Nectar of Instruction talks about the flip side of using your tongue, and Prabhupada in his usual style gives a solution. So eating anything and everything that's possible, you are going to create a future which is going to be very scary, that's mentioned in all his purpose. Which is what has happened now. And the solution to that is how the tongue, belly, genitals are in the same line, how you control the tongue by singing the Sarira Vedal song and tasting prasada, how you do that, then the whole thing comes into under control. The second aspect of speech, you always want to speak, everyone speaks some nonsense, but instead of that, the tongue, which is like it becomes like a desert without the water of Krishna Katha, because the talks about philosophy are that will not satisfy the tongue, and the tongue becomes like a desert. So what is that water that will quench the thirst of the desert is the Krishna Katha. So you have a propensity to speak some nonsense, so hold that back and speak about Krishna, because that verse didn't have any purport, I didn't cover, but Guru actually gives this what are your shortcomings, and this is the action plan for overcoming those shortcomings. So watch your vegam. This is you need to watch out for that. And Manasa Krodha Vegam. If you read Mental Destruction, there is a study guide by Srimati Mataji, where you can have in one page, you'll have a picture of all the aspects of the verse 1, and it is described in terms of these are the shortcomings and these are the solutions, like that. And it can be found in Urmila Mataji's website. Other scriptural, in under the section study guides, if you find one of them, is the link to the PDF, two PDFs, Nectar of Instruction study guide. So the first PDF is what I referred to, which gave me the picture in terms of problem, solution, like that. And then the way the purport is analyzed also inspired me to take up this kind of presentation. Okay, we'll end here. Granthrasana Bhagavatam ki, Shila Prabhupada ki, Jai.